At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
This is Mike Kegley. Welcome to Eye on the Illini. We'll be joined by Brad Sturdy and Kedrick Prince right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Are you looking to grow your business? Do that with the Illini Guys Radio Network by advertising on the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. The weekly two-hour syndicated show airs on more than 20 stations and is heard in six states throughout the Midwest, including Chicago, St. Louis, the Quad Cities, Peoria, Bloomington, Springfield, Champaign, Decatur, Rockford, and Quincy, just to name a few, with a reach of more than 11 million people. For information, send an email to mike@illiniguys.com and let's work together to grow your business. That's mike@illiniguys.com and let the power and reach of the Illini Guys Network work for you.
And as promised, this is Mike Kegley and I've got Brad Sturdy, Kedrick Prince. We were talking in the commercial break. It seems to me like this was the first low-key, relaxing Illini game. I love how the Buckeyes only cut it to six, and Illinois just kept applying the pressure. And I felt like while there were a couple moments that the Buckeyes might show some sign of life, there wasn't ever a threat to the Illini. Brad, what were your impressions of the game?
Well, I mean, they couldn't guard Illinois. I mean, they just could not stop Illinois on offense. Illinois scored at will. You can't make runs unless you can get stopped. So even though Ohio State would score a couple baskets in a row, Illinois just have an answer. And it was either Marcus Dumas or Terrence Shannon almost every time. Those two guys were just fantastic. I mean, Dumas scores 23 points on 12 shots. And Shannon finally looked like Shannon. He looked comfortable. He played within the flow of the offense. So it's really, really good. You know, just a good win. Anytime you went on the road, it's just a fantastic win in college basketball.
You know, I agree. It's a road win. I mean, Ohio State's typically play well at home. I thought it was going to be a much tougher game than what it was. But, you know, with Terrence Shannon and Marcus Dumas, it reminded me of the FAU game in Madison Square Garden, where they both had 33, and tonight they had 23 apiece. And, you know, it's look out for the rest of the Big Ten if Terrence continues at this pace. I mean, tonight he looked at about 75-80%, you know, to where he was before he left off. And I think tonight he wasn't thinking, he was just playing, especially just shooting the ball before, you know, I mentioned, you know, I thought he was aiming it because he was short. He was not shooting. And tonight he let it go and he looked good doing it. He was good at the free throw line. And I mean, I think he's starting to get his legs back defensively. I don't think he's 100% yet, but I think in another game or two, you may see that. But it's a win. It's a road win. If you want to compete with Wisconsin and Purdue, you have to beat the teams below you. And no disrespect to Ohio State, you know, they're below Illinois. And if they want to have a chance to, you know, to win and to get a higher seed, I've said before, I could care less about the Big Ten tournament or championship. I just do. I'd like them to get a good seed in the tournament to advance. And in order to do that, you have to, you know, you can't have bad losses.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Totally agree. I also thought that the Ohio State, you know, they shot well. in the first half, at the particularly, you know, to begin it. And then Illinois' defense more and more started playing a little bit better. And I think that was a contributing factor. I'm going to throw a couple crazy ones out to you before we get rolling. But I thought Gibbs LaHorne actually played pretty well. I know it was only 3 minutes, but he didn't hunt shots that made no sense. And I thought that was good. Imani Hansberry had the nice move down the lane. I thought that was excellent as well. And I also think, as I was watching it, I know Coleman Hawkins, you know, on paper, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 4 fouls, including the, you know, the tech. I was actually happy he only had to play 25 minutes because, you know, when we go back to thinking about that knee at the start of the year, if we can get him some rest here or there, I feel pretty good about it. Brad?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good. They only have 2 games, what, in the next, 11 days or something like that after this one. So this is a good, you know, it's a good stretch for them. You know, they get a day off tomorrow, and then they start getting back to practice, and they get ready, and then they have a day off after they get back. Coaches are going to be out recruiting. Lots of good things out of this win. I mean, you made it happen. I really think the one thing they have to just figure out is their defensive side of the ball, and that's where they're at. I mean, they just have to get better at that. And I think even tonight, I will say this, the one guy, if there's one guy who's struggling right now on the struggle bus, it's really Quincy Guerrier. Everybody else is really clicking. I thought DGL came in and he did what he needed to do. He provided energy, right? That's what you got to do. Come in, play hard. I thought Imani came in and did a good job. Dane did a good job in his minutes. I mean, for Dane, I mean, yeah, defensively, did he have a couple mix-ups? Yeah. And I think sometimes that's where a lot of people don't understand. Like you were talking about getting Coleman a break. You're not going to play Dane and give Coleman a break if Dane doesn't play well, because you know what I mean? So he has to play well when he goes out there, and he did good things. He had 7 points. He had 5 rebounds. Just looked more. I mean, just started to look comfortable. He tacked the glass, did some good things. But I thought one of the keys also in the second half we saw, or in the first and second half, really, but Ty Rogers got more time. 13 points, 10 rebounds. He just was clicking. He's finishing shots around the rim. He's active. He's tacking that offensive glass. They started moving him. You know, the whole Ty Rogers point guard thing, remember how Ty Rogers was our point guard at the beginning of the year?
Yep.
It's pretty obvious that Marcus Damask is the point guard in this team, and that's just the way it is. Rogers was excelling when they went zone, and he's on that weak side. He can attack the rim. You saw him get the putback dunk. He can flash the high post, and then he can pass out of that. He's fantastic in that role, and I think you're going to see that more, him in more of that role down the road next year. And so right now, you know, they got to have him because they need somebody to guard guards and different things. But, yeah, this team's – I'm telling you, guys, this team is when they start – if they get everybody going and going in the right direction and everybody contributing, got a chance to be really, really good.
I'm going to start with Dane. I'm happy for Dane. You know, I know we've all talked about having disagreements about playing time and whatnot. I'm just happy because you're right. 7 points, 5 rebounds. I think he could do that all the time if he was given the minutes. I mean, I think personally, and I'm sorry to say this, I think people make such a big deal about his defense. If some people are trying to find an excuse for him why he shouldn't play. I mean, hell, let's call a spade. Every kid on the team makes a mistake defensively. They all do it. I mean, Coleman will do it. You know, Marcus Domask has done it. I mean, Terrence Shannon did it a couple of times tonight. So if in the limited minutes that he's going to get, if you give him minutes, and I think he was effective, I think they cut the lead to 8. And I think, I believe it was Terrence Shannon gave him a pass on it was a high-low pass, and he scored. I mean, that's a body down low that you don't have, and it gives him another look, another weapon. I just think he could have helped them. You give him 10, 12 minutes a game, I think you're going to get that production from him. Now, Imani Hansberry, tonight's show fans what you have to look forward to. He didn't play a lot, but that 3 he shot was short. I'm cool with that. He hadn't played a lot. Looks really good coming out of his hand, and that then he put the ball on the floor, going to the basket, and the end one. Drayvon, you know, Mike, you mentioned he's going to be fine, I think, because he's talented. I think what's holding him back, and I could be 100% wrong, just understanding the game, when to and when not to, because the talent is definitely there. And I think all those guys tonight, they got minutes where they help. This is the kind of thing that I've been preaching about. When the tournament comes, let's look at Coleman. He got in foul trouble. What's going to happen? I mean, you don't want to have Dane, because Dane shot an air ball from 5 feet away. And typically, last year, he made that. So the minutes that they get, I think it's going to benefit them in the tournament.
Yeah, I totally agree there. Interesting. The other thing we talked about, maybe other Ohio State, other people don't follow Ohio State so closely, but Royal was looked at by Illinois. Illinois recruited him. The subject at my house when Connor and I were talking is, why is he buried so deep? And Brad, you were saying the same thing. Boy, we liked him when he was, you know, considering Illinois. And man, I'm not certain why he's getting 7 minutes a game, you know, and being buried. I don't know. What are your thoughts? This Ohio State team to me is a team that is less than the sum of its parts. And it's been that way for a couple, 3 years now.
Yeah, it has been the last 2 years. I mean, you could say, you know, and everybody says, well, they're really young. And I get it. They are a young team. But Jameson Battle's like 84 years old. And they got a lot of sophomores. Guys, and Zed Key's not young. And they got sophomores like who are Okpara and, you know, Thornton. Thornton's a player. But yet somehow it just doesn't click for these guys. You know, I mean, they don't play well together. And they have a really talented group of freshmen. And they just don't click. And so I wonder if there's, you know, I don't know how long Chris Holtmann has there. I mean, they obviously have not been, haven't been great, you know, this year or last year. So I guess we'll see. But I mean, they have to be, I don't know. I just feel like they have to play. They got to be better than this. I mean, they should be better than this, and there's not. And I don't know how, I don't know what the answer is, but I think defensively they really struggled. They don't have an identity offensively. They don't know where they want to play. They've, you know, they've been beat. You realize they have lost to the only team that they've actually played within single digits in their last six losses is at Michigan. And they've lost by, you know, last five losses has been at Michigan. Everything else has been double digits, Nebraska, Northwestern, and now home to Illinois.
I know it's considered a football school, but they care about basketball. Otherwise, they wouldn't have built that beautiful facility they have there. I think I'm 99.9% sure Holtmann came in the same year Brad Underwood did. And you look at the difference in the programs as where, you know, Brad has taken Illinois to where Chris has done it. I think he's a good coach. I mean, because he when he had it rolling, he was doing well. I mean, he didn't forget how to coach. I just think this whole thing I've always said, I think it comes down to recruiting. You know, they were really lucky to get Battle. I mean, I like him as a player. Illinois went after him for a little bit, I know a couple of weeks, and he was a guy that I really hoped that Illinois landed, because I remember a couple of years ago, he torched him in Champaign for 33 points or something like that. So it's just getting the right players to fit the system. And I think he tried everything, press, and he went a 1-3-1 zone, 2-3 zone. He was giving him a chance, his team a chance to win. They just were outmatched. And, I mean, I just don't know how – if Illinois is playing well, and everybody's playing well, and Quincy didn't play bad. I mean, he got in foul trouble, but he's not looking to score like he once was, and he's kind of hesitant on his free throws. But you got five or six guys. Now that Ty Rogers is doing what he's doing – it's a hard matchup. I would be willing to bet if you sat and talked to these coaches individually one-on-one, who in the hell do you guard? You pick your poison. Ty Rogers is not a liability anymore, not even at the free throw line. And then you got guys coming off the bench with Luke Goody and Harmon, I mean, who are getting, you know, a lot of minutes. Who do you stop? Every team you watch play, you guys, you can say, yeah, you know, you can dork this guy or not guard this one or do whatever. You can't – even Coleman Hawkins, you have to guard him from everyone on the court.
Yeah, I think that's a nice change from Illinois over the last few years when, you know, we'd have certain lineups where we're like, could we have more than two guys who can shoot? So I think roster construction – I do kind of disagree with you on Ohio State and basketball. I think they care about basketball from the day after the national championship game in football until spring ball starts. And then at that point, I mean, I don't know. I here's what I'm afraid of. Brad, you can tell me I'm wrong. But what I'm afraid of is Chris Holtmann getting flushed, and then you bring in Sean Miller and put him with the NIL checkbook of Ohio State. They'll accidentally spend a lot of money, you know, just finding the couch cushions, you know, what's it been between the couch cushions for the football program. So I'd like to have Holton stay another year or two. So maybe, you know, have him have some run. He'll win the Big Ten title and in the tournament, and he can go to the NCAAs and keep his job.
Yeah. I don't know. They are what they are. They obviously have some, you know, they were good under Mata and he did a good job there, but I don't know. I feel like, you know, the interesting thing is I don't know that the answer, like Holtman, I think he's recruited well enough. Just hasn't put the pieces together. I mean, we say every year, boy, they got some talented guys coming in. They've had one and done guys. They've had guys who come in and can do some things. They just haven't been successful. And you know, I look at Illinois last year. I thought Illinois was like not as good as they should have been last year, but they had three freshman guards and they probably, you know, so it's hard to play that way. I think Illinois this year is the type of team. I mean, and when you rely on the portal a lot, you're gonna have this. Illinois just, I mean, they cleaned up in the portal with Damask and with Guerrier and Harmon. I mean, just fantastic guys and understanding their roles too. I mean, willing to do what they need to do. And this is, you know, that's why I think that Illinois is really good. And obviously, then you have the development of the guys like Hawkins and even, you know, even Dane Danger provides some depth. And Luke Goody is a high school kid who can, you know, shoot the cover off of it. So you got a good mix. And Ty Rogers, a high school kid, and he's been really good. So I like what, you know, the way Illinois is doing that in the portal and doing this. And I don't know that, you know, Brad Underwood, I think, knows what he needs. And obviously he would have liked to have had another point guard. I think, but they've got a chance to, you know, this is a well put together team. And I know we said, you know, point guard this, point guard that Damask is their point guard. And it's like we didn't understand that. We didn't all get that because he was a power forward last year at SIU. He's their point guard. And so that's where I think that makes a huge difference when you have a guy who can, you know, just create that. And then you have the most dominant athletic force going downhill in college basketball and Terrence Shannon. Now that he's clicking, this team's really good. And that's something you don't see that from other teams. I'll tell you what, though. If Devin Royal and Thornton want to get in the transfer portal
in a second,
I take those twos in a heartbeat, man. I mean, seriously, I like Thornton. I think he guards. I think he's, you know, he's that point guard who can create for guys, use him in ball screens. And I love Devin Royal. I liked him when I watched him in high school. I think he's, you know, he's a perfect stretch four guy. You know, you're like you can post him. He can shoot it. He can defend. He can do. I mean, I think they have a lot of talent. You just wonder if they're going to be around to you know, fill that out because, you know, when guys are unhappy, they're just going to bolt.
Yeah, they'll leave. And I'll tell you what, Mike, here's my concern. You know, we're talking about Chris Holtman. You know, you got all those new teams coming to the conference and nobody wants to lose. Somebody's going to be in the bottom and you got three teams. I think if I'm right, they may not get in the tournament. That's not going to sit well with Ohio State. So, I mean, these schools with these TV contracts and these salaries, fans are going to be expecting them to win. And I'm going to tell you, it was embarrassing looking at this. You know, that arena tonight, there was no one there. And that's not Ohio State basketball. Granted, we're joking around, but we know they're a football school. But that was pretty embarrassing tonight, to tell you the truth. And the same thing with Michigan. When Illinois played in Michigan, these teams and these schools are not going to put up with that. Not when you're watching everybody else come out and get in the tournament and be successful. You know, Illinois fans can get mad all they want, but this dude down in Champaign is just continuing to win, and you're in the upper echelon every single year, regardless of people who get pissed because you're not playing Dane. Doesn't matter. Dude's winning.
Well, I'm going to ask you guys the loaded Big Ten question. If you had to choose a coach to coach your team, and you had Juwan Howard and Holtman, who do you pick?
Oh, God. Oh, my gosh.
Between Holtman and Howard?
Yes.
Mm. Oh, okay. I want to be honest. It's easy for me, but I'm going to go first what you think. I like Juwan as a coach. I don't think he is as bad as people think. I've said that before. You guys laughed at me the last podcast when we did against Michigan. His X's and O's, and he's drawing up things, whether it's his assistant or not. I mean, you could say it is what it is. I when I watch teams and I see some imagination on offense and I see what they're doing and then what they're trying to do on defense, I have to give him credit. I don't think he's that bad. I just think, I mean, you look at their roster, it's brutal. There's nobody on their team that would even come close to making first or second team all Big Ten.
So who recruited those guys?
No, I understand. I said that. I said, except for recruiting. He recruited him.
So but I don't think he's a – but I don't think he's – I mean, look at the guys he brought in. I mean,
yeah, he's not a bad recruiter.
What did he have? He had what? They didn't – they had what, three? They have three NBA guys last year?
Okay. Let me ask you this. He's been to the Sweet 16 and Illinois hasn't. So how do you justify that? Because he was either 1 or 2 years. They were there.
Is that the only metric that matters in college basketball?
No. Well, for the Illinois fans, when you can't get out of the first weekend, I think it matters a little bit because they haven't done it.
Well, okay, what would happen? So we should get Bruce Weber back because he made it to the Sweet 16. Or do you not have? Guy. Do you have to keep winning then? Or eventually, I mean, Michigan's 7-13. Yeah, but you went off on the tangent telling me how great Juwan Howard is.
I don't know. I didn't say he was great. I said he was better.
Yeah, you did. He's good coach. He's got great X's nose. He's able to take.
Tell me he does. See.
So you're taking Holt. So you're taking Howard. So Brad.
Last year, he's able to take. Here's his team last year. He had Jet Howard, NBA. He had Doug McDaniel, who's really good player. He had, let's see. Who is the guy he had? Oh, Kobe Bufkin, right?
Yeah,
Bufkin, G League, NBA, Hunter Dickinson, first team All American, and he went 18-16 and went to the NIT. Okay, I mean, that takes skills.
Okay, on the flip side, and I know what your question was, Mike, but Brad Underwood had Matthew Meyer, he had Terrence Shannon Jr. And he had Coleman Hawkins, and they were knocked out in the first round again. I understand what you're saying. I mean, and we can argue that all we want. The question was, who's a better coach? I'm telling you, if I had to pick and choose, and trust me, please, for the love of God, don't think it has nothing to do with race, because it doesn't. Because I like Chris Holman. I thought I was worried about the game tonight. I just think he's a better X's and O's coach than what people give him credit for. And at the end of the day, Brad, you know what people are judged by. It's what you do in the second weekend or third weekend or what you do in the tournament. Illinois hasn't done that. And I think right now that this team is built to do it. I do. And I'm sorry. We can agree to disagree. You're still my homie.
Okay. And he made the Sweet 16 as an 11 seed. So, 1 year. And he made the Elite Eight. He was a one seed. That was great. That was the year Illinois was also a one seed.
And they went the Elite in Sweet 16, right?
They went Elite Eight as a one seed. That's fine. But who were his guys? I mean, we didn't give any credit. We can't give credit. He had Beilein's guys, right? So since he's had work.
With those kids, he had bands. It's like Bruce Weber did. He had bands with those kids. Oh, I know,
but Bruce Weber never got any credit for it.
But with his own kids, he got to the Sweet 16. Brad Sturdy, you are too smart, man. You got 40,000 bachelor's degrees. You know darn well Illinois should have been gotten, in 7 years he's been there, should have gotten out of that first round of the tournament at least once. Are you telling me that you disagree with that?
But Ked, you're making a totally different argument. I'm not arguing about Brad Underwood. I'm talking about Juwan Howard.
Okay.
So if you want to talk about Brad Underwood, who's the winningest coach in the Big Ten in the past 4 years?
Okay, okay.
Juwan Howard took over John Beilein. Brad Underwood took over after John Gross. You want to compare the rosters?
Trash. Nope. Now that I can't argue. That is trash. Mike, you have a computer. How long has Juwan Howard been at Michigan? He's been to a Final Eight and a Final 16. A Sweet 16. That has to count for something. I don't care if he's got the players from Mars, man. He got to the, and that's probably why he's still coaching. Now, I'm not saying this team is great because this team was brutal.
So he's progressively gotten worse. He was 19-12. Then they made the Elite Eight as a one seed. Then they were an 11 seed who had a Sweet 16 run. Then they didn't make the tournament, and now they're 7-13 and they're last in the Big Ten.
And they won't make it this year. And that's whatever.
Right. So if Brad Underwood, makes Sweet 16 or Elite Eight, then for the next couple of years he can just be terrible.
Nope,
and he's still great.
But wait a minute, Howard made it to the second round of the NIT.
Well, yeah, exactly. I guess that's big time.
Mike, goddamn it, you're not helping my cause, man.
No, I don't even know. I'm not a big.
So back to the question, Brad.
I'm not a big Holtmann fan either.
I know, that's what I'm saying. That's why I thought this was a hard question because I couldn't answer it.
And it is a hard question. I would say this. The one thing I will say that Holtmann hasn't smacked anybody, threatened to kill one of the coaches,
oh my gosh,
or anything like that. So I'll go with Holtmann. I mean, okay. Juwan. I mean, he threatened to kill Mark Turgeon, and he smacked Joe Krabbenhoff in the face, and you know, so I'll go with less off the court issues. Give me Holtmann.
I would tell you what, man. If there's a game in the future in the State Farm Center, and the lights bounce off of Ked's head right and hit Juwan in the eye, we Ked could be the next
come
target.
Come after Ked. He'll come after Ked.
I'm done with you guys, man.
All right, so there was our stroll down. we got this caught in the trap there, you know. All right, so as we wrap up with this, give us some final thoughts on tonight's game.
Well, I think Illinois is in a really good spot. I mean, they get a little bit of a break before they play Nebraska on Sunday, and then they get a week, you know, 5 days off before they go to Michigan State. So this is an interesting situation for Illinois. They've got some time now. Get healthy, get right, and get ready for this stretch run. They have a lot of games coming up. You know, they've got games, you know, Nebraska at home is a game they should win. They got games Iowa at home. They got Penn State, you know, home game against Michigan. A lot of games that are just, you know, games that they should win, you know, 9 out of 10 times, Minnesota at home, et cetera. Just got to take care of business here over these next 7 games, because their final stretch at Wisconsin, Purdue at home, and at Iowa is tough. I mean, that is a tough 3-game finishing. And so if they can go, you know, look at these next 7 games, go 6-1, 5-2, you know, something like that, then I feel pretty good about where that's what they should be looking to do. I think it's very capable. Or 7-0, obviously, would be even better. But, I mean, this team is clicking, and I think they can out-talent many of the teams on their schedule upcoming. I think, you know, at Maryland and at Michigan State are going to be tough. But, you know, I think the rest of the games they should win over the next 7.
I would tell you, he's right. That schedule, you got to win at home. And I still think they have to go somewhere and beat someone that they shouldn't be. And to me, if there is one game circled on my calendar, and, you know, I got to wear my media hat here a little bit, but I'm going to say from the heart, I want to see them win at Maryland. That team has been a thorn in Brad Underwood's side. I think that would be a huge win. But I know there's a lot of games, you know, prior to that. Now, my comment about what's coming up, I think they need some help. I think Wisconsin, I wasn't sold on Wisconsin at first, you guys. I really wasn't. But when I saw them play last week, I thought, you know what, this team is solid. And they're big and they're long. They're fundamentally sound. They can shoot it really, really well. You know, I like to see Illinois leapfrog Wisconsin only for seeding purposes, because, you know, their schedule, I don't think, you know, people said it's, you know, on par with Illinois, but I just like to see them lose a couple games here or there, or maybe somebody slip up and get Purdue again, you know, but they got to steal a win somewhere, well, but you can't lose at home.
Wisconsin does have Purdue 2 more times, and they do have a road game at Iowa. They have Illinois.
See, there you go.
So they have some games they could slip up, you know, and kind of slide back with everybody. KenPom projects them to go 15-5. I think it's conceivable Illinois could get to 15-5. You know, Purdue has obviously the game at Illinois. They go to Wisconsin as well coming up. Purdue still has a game at Ohio State that they should handle. But really, that's the only tough road game they have at Illinois and at Wisconsin. They get those two. They should handle Ohio State and Michigan as we go forward. Now, I don't know. So I think Purdue's in a good spot still. I like where they're at. But I think Illinois, they got to, you know, probably get 16-4. You got a chance to get a share of this Big Ten title. I think that's the key. If you can get 16-4, I think you're going to have a shot at getting a Big Ten title when I look at where everybody's at.
Well, I agree. I like that. So, I mean, yeah, just basically, you know, in a nutshell, get some help and beat the team you're supposed to be, even if it's a team like Michigan State. We know what they're like traditionally, but this is one of Tom Izzo's worst teams. And going up there, to me, losing to Michigan State is a bad loss to me right now. Illinois is a much better team.
Yep. Well, and who knows, in the transfer portal, maybe pick up Booker from, Michigan State and pick up Royal from Ohio State, and who knows? You know, like I said, it's the strangest thing in the world. This transfer portal makes you have to do a good job recruiting guys, and you have to be really, really kind when they pick somebody else, because they might just be your All-American in 2 or 3 years. So any final thoughts, gentlemen?
Yeah, I like where Illinois is at. They're healthy. They're getting there. Hansberry coming back is undervalued. You know, getting another guy who can come in and play when you get in foul trouble or, you know, against certain matchups, I think that's huge. I think getting DGL, you've seen DGL and Moretti both give good minutes at different points now. And this is what you've got, these guys. They come in, and it may not be very long, but just to have a guy who can come in there for 2 or 3 minutes when you need a spark is really important. And Terrence Shannon and Ty Rogers clicking. You know, Marcus Damascus pretty much been there since December. I mean, it's been pretty consistent every day he's there. But getting Terrence Shannon back to being Terrence Shannon he was in, like against Missouri, when I thought Illinois was just dominant, you know, in those at that time of the year, is huge. And getting Ty Rogers to be a part of this team who can go out there and get, he's figuring out his role, you know, and finding out what he can do. And if, you know, right now they even win these games without everybody, you know, Hawkins, Guerrier, and Harmon were all kind of off tonight for a variety of reasons, whether it's, you know, Coleman's kind of emotions because Zed Key kept flopping, or Guerrier just didn't seem to rebound like he has been. You know, Harmon just took a couple bad shots, you know, it wasn't there. Right.
Yep.
But yet they still win by double digits on the road. And that's a sign of a really good team.
It is. It's a sign of a good team. It's a sign of a veteran team. It's a team that you feel confident in. And, you know, I need to give kudos to Coach Underwood. I think he pulled all the right buttons tonight. You know, I know one time he got upset and he chewed out, you know, Quincy for leaving battle open on that 3-point play. It was a great play. But this team, you know, I think they're brought in. And people are asking, too, are they ever going to get back to the same? And what's the offense going to look like now that Tan Shen is back? Is it going to affect Marcus Domas? It didn't. Marcus still did the same thing. He was still being able to isolate. And I tell you, once they're able to isolate Tan Shannon with him, they're just tough. That's why I said from the very beginning when this season started, enjoy the ride, because it's a fun team to watch, and they're good. I think they play better on the road than they do at home sometimes, to tell you the truth.
Can I say something real quick about, like, you were talking about that?
I really
like when they play through Damask, even at the end. I don't like ISOs for Shannon. I like Shannon getting the ball on the move, on zoom actions, or getting kickouts where he can close out attack or hit spot up threes. I thought that was – I didn't like when they were isolating him, letting him go one-on-one. I don't think that's his best thing, unless it's late shot clock. But when you get him going downhill off a zoom action or in transition, he is virtually unstoppable. I mean, he scores or gets fouled almost every play. And sometimes, even when they call a charge tonight, he got fouled. That wasn't a charge.
Yeah, clearly.
I mean, it was clearly a block. I mean, this team can do so many different things well. And I like Brad Underwood talking about shooting more threes and not fake. And it was good. I like the way they play. It's rims and threes and or Damask. And anytime, you know, those should be the options that they play on offense.
Yep. Kat, any final thoughts?
I was just going to say this. I know you asked us that, but I think I've not seen Terrence Shannon go ISO all year. I thought tonight, this is why I got to give Coach Underwood credit. I thought they let him do that, or they let that happen, because they're trying to get that confidence back in him. I think they felt confident that they were going to win the game. Let him do his thing. Let him see the ball go through the rim other than the free throw. Let him try to get his legs back underneath him other than somebody that you're going to get some practice. I was impressed with that, because, I mean, we haven't seen that, because Brad's right. You know, that whole ISO one-on-one situation, that's all Marcus Domas. I mean, that's his game, and that's not Terrence's game right now. But I kudos to the coaching staff for allowing him to do it. Players coach.
Perfect. Well, thank you, gentlemen, for coming on board. We'll be back in 1 minute to wrap up the show.
Whether you live in Champaign or Chicago, halfway across the country, or on the other side of the world, IlliniGuys.com keeps you in the know. Be it in-game results, top-level stories, or the latest behind-the-scenes info and recruiting, IlliniGuys.com has you covered. For about 25 cents a day, you can have an inside path to your favorite Illini teams. And we'll even throw in a free 7-day trial to kick the tires. Go to IlliniGuys.com, click the register button, and get immediate access to dozens of stories each month, message forums, free giveaways, and more. IlliniGuys.com.
And thanks to Brad and Kedrick for stopping by. Thanks to you for subscribing and listening to this podcast. We will be back on Sunday after the Nebraska game. That is a 5:30 p.m. tip at the State Farm Center. And, of course, it'll be on BTN. And then you can tune in to us after it's over. Go Illini!
At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.